Do you go to church? There's a question for us all here this morning. Do you go to church? Is that how you think about church? As somewhere we go on a Sunday morning. Do you go to church like you go to the cinema? You pay your money and you get to sit there for an hour or so and be entertained. Do you go to church like you go to the supermarket, expecting to find what you want, taking what you do, leaving the rest for someone else? Do you go to church? In light of what's ahead of us these coming months, we're in the second of three sermons this week covering three principles for healthy life together as a church family: growing, serving and giving. Reconsidering things we looked at the start of the church plant in January 2018, important things for a church looking ahead and wanting to grow healthily. But here now, fresh eyes and application for us, looking ahead to a vacancy and then a new minister. This mini-series considers the question, what as Christians is our relationship to the local church? Well, what should it look like? What should it be? Last week we introduced the series and we looked at growing, this week serving, next week giving. Important things for a church looking ahead and wanting to grow healthily. The Bible paints a picture of the Christian's relationship to church, not as a place we go, but as something we're a part of. Church is not a place we go, but it's something we're a part of. We are connected to one another. 1 Corinthians 12, we are members of one body, the body of Christ, together, sharing our lives. Let me share that quote we began with last week. The New Testament assumes that all Christians will share in the life of the local church, meeting with it for worship, accepting its nurture and discipline, and sharing in its work of witness. And to commit to a local church, COVID has been uniquely hard in terms of meeting together, but the New Testament doesn't paint a picture of Christians belonging to some big church miles away they only get to occasionally, or even just watch online from afar, or a flitting between churches and congregations being different bits of different churches as it suits them. There seems to be a constant urging by the New Testament writers to commit to get stuck into a local church family. For that's truly the place where the one anothering is done. Because the local church is the place we have to think hard what it means to live in harmony, Romans 15:5-6. And to bear with one another, Ephesians 4:1-6. And to bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:1-5. It's the place we'll be encouraged and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Our commitment to a local church means we'll be able to exhort one another regularly, Hebrews 3:13, and encourage one another, Hebrews 10:24-25. The local church is the place we can show our love for one another, 1 John 3, as we commit to one another. Think how weak it sounds to say, I love you and care about you, but I'm not actually committed to you. I'd rather be with myself or another family sometimes. I said last week that wouldn't make a very good wedding vow. It's too easy to have a consumer view of church, especially now with all the online provision, to pick up which bits of which churches we like and drift in and out of them, self-serving, not serving God or his people. When we commit to a local church family, it's the place we will truly grow as we serve and give and share our lives and our ministry together. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 1 to 18, really helps us on this topic of serving, the one we're looking at this morning, because it shows us both the reason Christians serve and it shows us the result of that serving. If you want to have your Bibles open at Philippians 2, that would be great. And we've got sermon points which will come up on the screens. I've prayed. Let's look at these verses. The reason Christians serve and the result of serving, two things for us this morning. First, the reason Christians serve. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus has served us. Verses 1 to 11, gospel lives serve others as Jesus has served us. What is your most valued possession? The thing of greatest worth to you? Where is it? What do you do with it? Do you live in it? Is it an object? Is it a person? As a Christian, what's the gospel worth to you? What's the good news of Jesus Christ worth, of forgiveness for sins for all who will turn and trust in Jesus? What's that worth to you? Paul raises this in chapter 1, verse 27, not as a question, but to tell the church the way they live their lives should match the worth of the new life they have in Jesus. The way they live their lives should match the worth of the new life they have in Jesus. The way they live their lives will show the value they place on the gospel, the new lives they've been given in Jesus. In particular, Paul highlights unity, of being united in Christ, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Our pursuit of unity as members of one body shows the value we place on the gospel. Paul picks this up again in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. At the end of verse 2, Paul urges the Philippians to be in full accord and of one mind. Paul urges them in verse 3 to cast off attitudes that destroy unity, selfish ambition and conceit, and to put on attitudes that promote unity, humility, counting others more significant than ourselves. If we value the gospel, we will endeavour to be united with one another, which comes as we think less of ourselves and more of others, as we serve others. What better way to demonstrate our unity as gospel people than to serve one another in that gospel together? Serving one another in the church, in its ministry. Our unity together shows the value we place on the gospel. And we serve one another in the local church and its ministry as a sign of our unity. Gospel lives serve others. And in this coming season of life at St. Richard's, there will be serving gaps, giving rise to opportunities to serve. Not only that, we are growing. Life and ministry and outreach are growing as we open up more and more out of lockdown. Sunday services are opening up. Christmas is coming. Outreach into Alderbrook, especially a monthly connect, is growing. Little Seeds is opening. Home groups are getting full and need leaders. Passion for Life events are being planned up to Easter next year. This is a moment of opportunity for us to step up and get more involved. That we might maintain gospel ministry here during the vacancy, but also support its growth as we open up more and more from lockdown. And verses 5 to 11 reveal the motivation for serving others. That as Christians, all we're doing is serving others as Jesus has served us. We're having the mindset of the one to whom we belong as members of one body, the body of Christ. We're following the example of the one we claim to follow. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus has served us. Because Jesus' mindset, the thing that's important to Jesus, is serving others. What do you see when you look in the mirror? I've shared before that Jane once said to me, no word of a lie, you haven't aged well over the years. Verse 6, when Jesus looks at himself, there is nothing but perfection. Yet the one who is in nature God, God himself, one with the Father, looks at himself and the Father and all the glories of heaven, all that's rightfully his, and then looks at us, messy and muddled and broken, rebellious creatures we are, utterly lost from God through our own doing. Jesus looks at us and verse 6 does not cling to or treasure all that's rightfully his, riches and status. He does not seek to exploit his position before the Father or take all he could take. Instead, for our sake, he gave up everything. He gave up everything for our sake. He held nothing back. For our sake, and in obedience to the Father, verse 7, this Jesus condescended to come down to earth from his throne in heaven, King of the universe as a servant, taking on human nature, far inferior than his own divine nature. And then, having done that, verse 8, this Jesus humbled himself again down from heaven to earth, now down from the earth to the grave, down, down, Dying the death of the lowest of the low, he emptied himself, as one writer puts it, to an unimaginable state, for our sake, that we might, through him, trusting in him, find forgiveness for our rebellion and be restored to a right relationship with the Father. For our sake, Jesus has given everything for us that we might become new creations with new life and hope, eternal life and hope. In him, for our sake, he has given everything for us. So for his sake, the question is, can we do that for others? Can we give without selfish ambition, in humility, give ourselves to serve one another? A sign of our unity, a measure of the value we place on the gospel of all that Jesus has done for us. Can we serve Jesus by serving his people and serving with his people willingly, as he gave himself willingly? Verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, acts of Jesus' own will. The idea that Jesus was forced into service by an abusive father misunderstands the whole point of this passage. Jesus gave himself willingly. In his steps, we serve others willingly. And verses 17 to 18, joyfully, willingly, and joyfully serving others in costly ways. Because gospel lives serve others as Jesus has served us. But please don't listen now and feel beaten by a stick, or motivated by guilt to serve members of the body of Christ here at St. Richard's. That isn't what anyone wants. That isn't Christian service. For all the opportunities to step up and get stuck in, to unite together in service of Jesus, feeling beaten by a stick, or volunteering out of guilt, or even just for outward appearances, isn't what we want. And it isn't the mindset of Jesus as he served us. The way to serve is from the heart, in response to all Jesus has done for us, willingly and joyfully. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus served us. Death wasn't the end for Jesus. Therefore, verse 9, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, down to earth in humility and down to death in humility, down. Then up to glory in the resurrection and up to glory in the ascension, up. Humility and suffering followed by glory and exaltation. God exalted Jesus to the highest of high places. Suffering, then glory. That's the pattern of Jesus. Suffering now, glory later. The pattern of the Christian life, of those in Christ Jesus. And as Jesus was raised, we too shall be raised with him. In some senses, Ephesians 2:6, we've already been raised with him. We simply wait for his return. Philippians 2, verse 16, the day of Christ when, verse 10, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Suffering now, glory later. Serving others as Jesus has served us is hard. And it is costly. But the new life Jesus has given us now is a glorious gift. And the end to which we're heading as Christians is totally glorious. Of course, we need to be sensible and we need to not overcommit for lots of good reasons. But sometimes we can overfixate on me time or I've done my bit, it's someone else's turn. Life is busy and it is tiring for all of us. And being a Christian only makes life busier. But we have a life now of opportunity. We are alive, spiritually alive. The gift of new lives. Rest will come, eternal rest. We will have eternity to rest. Now is the time to serve in service of the glorious gospel that served us beyond measure. It's a life of service. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus served us. There is so much happening here at St. Richard's as we open up, more and more post-lockdown. So many opportunities to unite together in the service of the gospel in this place as we come into a period of vacancy, and much pastoral care as we continue to live broken lives together and as the effects of COVID are still very much felt. Much opportunity and much need. Serving one another. But to what end? If the reason we serve others is the way Jesus has served us, what's the result of our service? Well, that comes in verses 12 to 18. The second point on the screens, it's up there already. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus has served us, holding fast to and shining out the gospel. Verses 12 to 18, holding fast to and shining out the gospel. JFK was inaugurated as 35th President of the United States on the 20th of January 1961. Apparently, his inaugural address was the fourth shortest ever delivered. But it contained the famous line, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." We do not go to church. We are not church consumers. And so we ask not what our church can do for us, but what we can do for our church. Yet wonderfully, through our service, through our one anothering together in this way, we find set before us, verses 15 and 16, the result of it all, that we might hold fast to the gospel. Through our obedience to the gospel, verse 12, as we work out our salvation, serving others as Jesus has served us, verse 14, without grumbling or disunity, it is verse 15 that we might be blameless and innocent children of God. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Jesus' work to make us part of his body will not prove to be a work in vain. As we serve one another in the church, it helps us hold fast to the gospel ourselves. As we get stuck into serving together in the local church, serving one another, it bonds us and it binds us. It unites us. We serve one another in the church as a sign of our unity, holding fast to the gospel as we do. And God doesn't leave us alone to do that. As we are at work, God is at work in us, verse 13, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In this coming season where gaps emerge and opportunities to serve in them present, there's a false humility that says, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. Of course, we each have different gifts and abilities and characters, but it's not all about us. All things are possible with God. God strengthens us to serve him for his glory and our good, through which we might hold fast to the gospel as we one another together. Verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Jesus' work to bring us into his body will not prove to be a work in vain. There's a wonderful power in the gospel. As gospel lives serve others, keeping us holding fast to the gospel as Christians, serving others as Jesus has served us. But also shining out the gospel to the world whilst we wait for the day of Christ. The world is watching, a world that doesn't know Jesus and his work to serve them. That through him, trusting in him, people might find forgiveness for our rebellion and be restored to a right relationship with God. The world asks, what difference does Jesus Christ make to human lives? Paul says, verses 14 to 15, do all things without grumbling or disputing, shining as lights in the world. When Christians grumble and fall out with one another, it doesn't just impact our relationship with God or our relationships together, though it does both those things. If the unbelieving world looks on at those who profess the name of Christ and see lives that look like anyone else, self-serving, grumbling, disputes and disunity amongst one another, there is no gospel light there. It tarnishes the name of Jesus. The one we profess changes human life. But when the world sees lives transformed, serving others as Jesus has served us, it has a wonderful power to draw people to the Lord Jesus. There is a wonderful power as gospel lives serve others, witnessing to the world as Christians live gospel lives, serving others as Jesus has served us. As we finish, read on to the end of chapter 2 if you want to see two case studies of all that Paul's been talking about in both Timothy and Epaphroditus. Our lives of faith, of serving God and one another, they are of intrinsic value. Look to Jesus, verses 5 to 11. We often think a life of service or a life in service to others is demeaning and devaluing. We want to be served ourselves. But serving others is commended by Paul in verses 1 to 4. It's certainly acceptable to Jesus on the day he returns, verses 9 to 11 and 16 to 18. So as we begin this new chapter of life together at St. Richard's, a vacancy, then a new minister, what joy and opportunity to serve one another and to show our unity in doing so. Lots of opportunities as we seek to maintain the ministry and support its growth as we open up more and more from lockdown over these coming months. Gospel lives serve others as Jesus served us, holding fast to and shining out the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that in love for us and obedience to you, the Lord Jesus served us, holding nothing back. Thank you for his coming to earth and his death on the cross in our place, that we might find forgiveness with you. And thank you for raising him to new life, exalting him in heaven and promising his return. May these truths encourage our hearts to serve others, to serve one another in this local church of St. Richard's, knowing all Jesus has done for us. And knowing that through our service, we will be encouraged to hold fast to the gospel and shine out the gospel to the world. United together in our service of the gospel, especially at this time of change, give us an eternal perspective in our lives, suffering and service now, glory and rest to come, all for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.